Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, Ralph Marlboro here. We need your support to keep Saints Happy Hour going this offseason. Please support the show by becoming a patron so we can continue to cover the Saints in the ridiculous fashion you've come to expect. If you support the show, you get access to the podcast ad-free. No ads ever. Plus, you get our world-famous booze bundle, 4 swag items, amazing, and you get access to our private Discord channel where you can talk Saints 24/7. So please support Saints Happy Hour so we can keep this amazing community growing. Support the show at saintshappyhour.com today.
Hey, it's Stevie from 12 Ninja here, and look, if you like American football, you should check out Saints Happy Hour podcast. I personally know fuck all about American football, other than it's a bunch of massive blokes wearing spandex, shoulder pads and helmets, running around with a throwing a football. In Australia, you don't throw footballs. You punch it or you kick it. There's no protection. They're all naked, and there's sharks and crocodiles fired out of cannons onto the field, and we all stand around and drink blood watching it. But American football is your thing, you know what to do. Saints Happy Hour podcast. Stick it in your ear hole.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour podcast. We have a great show for you today. We're going to talk about how Tim Tebow, he wishes he was Taysom Hill despite all the talking heads thinking that's going to happen. We're going to talk about which road games 2021 schedule are the best ones to attend. We are going to talk about the Saints schedule, how to manage the snaps with the 17 game schedule to make sure players only play the same amount of plays as 16 games. We'll talk about how Mickey Loomis is going to create $5 million of cap space out of thin air. And we're going to talk about how the Falcons continue to get sunned by the Saints on social media. Welcome to the podcast. Find us on the YouTubes, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. If you don't give us 5 stars, don't give us any stars at all. We got the whole crew here tonight. Thomas running the show in Poland. Gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
Good.
That's doing it. Good.
I'm hurt.
Pretty.
It was good. Almost not looking so good.
It wasn't.
You were Robo Ralph in our pre-show.
I'm hurt because
somehow you got your audio fixed.
I got it fixed. Time. Don't wait. We're only 2 minutes in, Juge. We haven't fixed anything. I'm hurt, though, because we bought Kevin a headset, and he doesn't have the headset tonight because he's at work, and he sounds 1,000 times better than he sounds with the goddamn headset. So, once again, we fail.
He's got his DJ headphones on.
Right.
So, I want to start with this, and
all
granted,
the ones and twos.
Granted, the thumbnail that I had Thomas build is a merging of Tim Tebow and Taysom Hill, which is the greatest way to create social media engagement. Taysom Hill might be the number one player in the NFL. You can just tweet anything about him, and you get 50 retweets. But here's the thing that annoys me, Dave. All these talking heads are like, Taysom, he's going to be the next Taysom Hill. They're going to put in a Taysom Hill package. Tim Tebow, he hasn't played. The last time Tim Tebow played a meaningful quarterback snap in the NFL, Vernon Davis was killing our Saints' dreams in the 2011 playoffs. I don't want to hear this bullshit of Tim Tebow is going to be like Taysom Hill. It's not going to happen, and it annoys me.
Well, as soon as this whole thing came out and they actually signed him, I mean, my take
they
was,
haven't signed him yet, though.
Oh, well. I thought they did. I thought it was official.
I did, too. Right. But they haven't signed him yet. It's not official.
Well, okay. Well, then to that point, I mean, I really feel like the real reason behind this whole thing is like just pure publicity. You know, you've got a new head coach in Jacksonville or whatever, and you want to put butts in the seats and, you know, get people excited and get people talking about you. You know, all press is good press. So, I mean, really and truly, that's probably, you know, that's probably at the heart of this. But, you know, when this whole thing first came out, you know, my take on it was that Tim Tebow crawled so that Taysom Hill could walk so that Tim Tebow can now run. I feel like we've come full circle here. I mean, I really truly believe that. Like, Tim Tebow was kind of like that first, you know, a very aggressive, not the first quarterback that ever ran with the ball, but the first kind of like, he'll just go straight up the middle and bowl people over kind of tight end type of quarterback. And he had some success. He won a playoff game for crying out loud. And now you've got Taysom Hill, who does a lot of the same things, but he's had way more success than Tebow ever did.
Winning a playoff game is more than Bobby Hebert can say.
People shit on Tebow. But like, I have always said this about Tebow. He was a winner,
a horseshoe,
man. Like,
deep in his ass. I mean, he was
a winner. Whatever he did, he went like that playoff game. He pulled that shit out of his ass. he had that winner stink on him, and I think there's something to be said for that. And I feel like he kind of got a bad rap. And he should have.
Are you telling me that he was good at quarterback by any stretch of the imagination?
No, but he could have. No, what I'm saying is that where he went wrong was he should have played tight end. They wanted him to play tight end. Teams wanted him to play the tight end. He should have made the switch. He should have done whatever he wanted to do to stay in the league. And I think he could have been a good tight end, and he could have been. I don't know, but
you're saying he should have done what he didn't want to do.
Yes.
He refused to do that.
Well, if he didn't want to do that, and that's fine. But like, if he wanted to be successful, or if he wanted to stay in the NFL, he could have switched to tight end.
Well, we're kind of seeing it with Taysom, right? To your point, like, I think Taysom has shown a willingness to kind of do whatever it takes to get on the field.
Exactly.
And if he's the anti-Tebow attitude.
Yes, then exactly.
Maybe he would have remained in the league all this last decade.
Exactly. And well, now that Taysom has done that, now Tebow's like, oh, you know what? Maybe I will switch positions, and maybe I will.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like,
so we've come full circle.
But Taysom is much faster, first of all. He runs a 4.4, and I think Tebow ran like a 4.74.
That's right.
Significant difference in speed. And the other thing I will say, like, we can bang on Taysom all you want for, like, the processing and the fumbles, but, like, he can actually throw an NFL ball.
More accurate
than
Aaron Rodgers.
Tim Tebow cannot.
In 2020, just say it.
Wow.
But here's the thing, Kevin, and I was listening to a Bomani Jones podcast, and he was talking to Dominic Foxworth. And he
wanted to say Dominic Foxworth.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bye. Foxworthy.
I wanted to say that so bad. It's like Debo. It's just, it gets me. But Kevin, he brought up a great point of NFL players are going to want to wreck Tebow in these preseason games. And he brought up the point of when he was with the Broncos and he was, that was like Jerry Rice's last stop. Remember, he wanted to make the Broncos at 40. And Foxworth was like, I don't care that Jerry Rice is in the Hall of Fame, blah, 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 blah. I am going to wreck this dude. Wreck him. And I think people are going to like defensive ends, linebackers, like they're going to humiliate Tebow in the preseason, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you got a guy who hasn't played football in ten years. I imagine he's kept himself in pretty good shape. He did try playing minor league ball with the Mets or something.
Not the same. Come on.
No. I'm not saying it's an apples to apples thing, but I'm saying the man's kept himself in some kind of athletic shape more than probably most people would keep themselves in any kind of shape.
Yeah.
After being away from something for so long.
Tebow seems like it's like a lifestyle for him.
He's been playing baseball. But like, is that different, like being in baseball shape compared to being in football shape? Those were two different things.
Oh, Fredo, by the way, says, Dave, this is a list of quarterbacks that have won one playoff game. Mark Bulger, Steve Walsh, Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum, Aaron Brooks.
And they're all better than Tebow.
at throwing the ball.
Yeah.
But are they as versatile? Can they also block and catch and
run? I'm not sure Tebow can do that. Remember when Dez Bryant came to the Saints and we were all excited when he had been out of six?
That was a great day and a half. We did a breaking news podcast.
I wasn't excited. And he lasted one practice.
Yeah.
I wasn't excited.
They love him so much. Your boyfriend, Mark Ingram, threw up the X's as a salute to him, even after he got hurt.
And now we're saying Tebow's going to play a different position 10 years later? Come on.
Can you think of any player in the history of the NFL that went more than 2 years without playing, came back, and did well? Like Teddy Bridgewater missed 2 years. It was a catastrophic injury, but he was playing the same position. Like, I can't think of anyone that went a decade without playing and mounted to shit. Can any of you?
Nope.
No.
But here's my question.
I mean, look, I didn't think he was that good 10 years ago. So I'm expecting him to be worse now. Like, look, it was a nice positive story because he's a genuinely good dude, it seems, and seemingly no skeletons in the closet, cares about people, tries, you know, does things the right way, all that kind of talk, supportive, inspirational. Does it help that he's religious in a non-threatening way? Yes. So you're gonna see we're gonna be pulling a lot of that back now in 2021 in current day America. It's going to be more of a shit show. And I just hope if he's good, like, I just hope that if he's good from the start. And I hope that if he's bad, I hope he fucking tanks within the first 3 or 4 weeks. So he gets run the fuck off soon rather than later, because I don't want to see it on my timeline. I try and curate my timeline as best I can. I just hope there's not a lot of nonsense. You know,
you go into Twitter, mute Tebow forever.
Yeah, basically.
I will be stunned if he makes the team.
Here's, on my timeline.
Here's my question.
I would be stunned if he makes a team. If he makes the team, it's purely for cosmetic reasons.
Because he made Urban Meyer a shit ton of money.
That's right.
Dave, I got an important football question for you, Dave, because you are a burgeoning football mind. You study it, you know it, you analyze it. Bigger social media shitstorm. Taysom is the Saints starting quarterback week one and wins. Tebow is on the Jacksonville roster and scores a touchdown. What leads ESPN's first take?
Tebow, that's not even close. That is not even.
You don't
a
think
question.
If Taysom beat you're Aaron Rodgers, it would lead first
no.
take?
No.
I mean, you're no. talking about. I mean, Taysom has no. already won games in the NFL.
Yeah.
He would have already won the job as starting quarterback, so it wouldn't have been a surprise that he was starting week one. And you're talking about Tebow scoring a touchdown? No, absolutely.
I feel like y'all underrate
the
Taysom.
The media.
His social media prowess is strong.
Stop. People, Tebow, the media, they love Tebow. The media loves Tebow. They would be all over that. They would be all over that.
Tebow is, like, the media likes to complain about Taysom, and Taysom gets a lot of clicks amongst Saints fans, but Tebow's in another stratosphere, man.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Florio ran Taysom into the ground with the $140 million contract last year. You know, remember when they were thinking about will the Saints
it's not
what
even
kind
close.
Of tender will
Dude,
they put on?
You no, forget no, you yeah, forget how Tim Tebow was literally the first topic on every single ESPN segment ad nauseum. It was like, what did he have for breakfast this morning? There was a national obsession with Tim Tebow that has maybe never been rivaled.
We are on the Locker Room app every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, talking Saints, talking NFL, talking draft. It's amazing. You can interact with us, goof at us, you can make fun of me, mispronounce names, you can ask serious draft questions about Andrew. We're having a blast talking Saints live. All you have to do is go download the Locker Room app for free in the iOS App Store. Create a profile, link to your Twitter, and then join the NFL group. Follow me at Saints Happy Hour to be notified when the room goes live. We'll be going live every Wednesday at around 9 o'clock to talk Saints, to talk draft, and basically to make fun of me mispronouncing names. So do it. Download the Locker Room app today and then join us live every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Sports. Culture. Takes. Take Line has it all. Take Line is a weekly podcast hosted by Emmy winner Jason Concepcion and former WNBA champ Renee Montgomery. That's a fast-paced exploration of the NBA and the world of sports and culture. Each week, Jason and Renee talk about the games, players, controversies, and issues that run both on and off the court. Follow Nail to hear Take Line every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts. I'm in the minority.
He won a Kevin, he won a Heisman. He won a Heisman. He was in the SEC. The guy that you Google Tim Tebow's girlfriend. I'm sure that still comes up and produces a lot of crazy ass stories. Or you can, you know, click back and find out what all that hubbub was about.
Yeah, but has Tim Tebow ever aroused
the guy
special teams coach coming out of
the
The
guy was delivering inspirational speeches. He was delivering inspirational speeches as a college football player. He comes out, plays football. Again, positive story, positive guy, seems genuine, no skeletons. It's a good story. The media loves to latch on to good stories. And he was driving clicks anyway. He was garnering attention from the general public, so it just becomes a feedback loop. The media likes a good story. The public was gravitating towards him already, so it just kept feeding itself infinitely. And then finally, he goes away. And there you go, right there. I don't even know if that's his girlfriend, but it's a photo of Tebow with a hot girl. That shit played on the internet in 2011 or not even 2011, before 2011, when he was still playing college football. And then once he got out of college football, it was still a big deal. It was funny. The guy just drew a ton of talk. And again, feedback loop.
Is there?
That's it.
He's totally a serial killer.
Taysom Hill, Taysom Hill can't compete with that.
You don't think? Is there nothing? If Tim Tebow scores a touchdown for Jacksonville week one, Andrew, is there nothing Taysom Hill can do to trump him on SportsCenter?
I feel like he can perform open heart surgery on an official at the game that collapses at the 50-yard line during the game. That's maybe all Taysom Hill could do.
I don't know. Maybe like two rushing, two passing TD game, you know, something like that. Maybe.
And drop kicks an extra point.
Maybe something like that.
Fredo says that's awesome. A former Miss Universe Tim Tebow dating.
Well, good for him. He's a good-looking guy.
Somebody said Aldon Smith was out of the NFL for 5 years. So that shoots my theory to hell, Aldon Smith.
He's no Taysom.
He's no Taysom. And it brought up the point to me, Andrew, is we really forget, like, Taysom is a goddamn unicorn. Like, to be able to do what he's done for the Saints, to cover the kicks, the thing is that Taysom does that I'm 100% sure that Tebow cannot. One, he can't throw the ball. But even that, Taysom, Andrew, I don't know how he does it. He does not look like a quarterback playing other positions. Like, when he lines up in the slot for the Saints, he looks like an H-back. When he covers kicks, he looks like a gunner. Tim Tebow has always, when he's tried to be a punt protector or whatever, he always looks like a quarterback trying to do something else. And that is like Taysom's secret sauce, I think, that Tebow is not going to have.
Yeah, Taysom is like no one else. He has a very unique skill set. And I think that's part of what makes him so exciting for us.
That's why he got $140 million of fake money.
Look, we've already talked enough about Tim Tebow. I'm done with it. Like, he's not going to make the team. And if he does, it's stupid. Like, that's all I have to say.
And it's not the Saints. And this is the Saints.
So
it's just dumb. It's stupid. It's like, I think we all see it for what it is. Even Jaguars fans see it for what it is. And it's just like, why are we doing this song and dance? Like, it's just comical. It's silly.
The likes, the retweets, the clicks.
It's just a waste of everyone's time.
So
it's a feedback loop.
I want to get a chance to plug, if you're not a patron, you should become a patron, because we have an awesome Discord channel and we talk Saints all the time. But we have a new Discord channel on our server where people that are going to Saints road games can like meet up and chat and like figure out how to meet up when they go on the road games. And that brought up a great question to me, Andrew, Dave, Kevin, like, what road games are the ones that you're going to attend or the most fun? I think the Tennessee one is the potential. Like, Nashville seems like a fun town to go to.
Yeah, no, that's it. I mean, a couple of people in my personal life, I've already been like, oh, if I'm going to go to a game, it's going to be the Tennessee game. I think that's the one.
That's a good situation, too, just in terms of, like, the stadium and your downtown. And it's not like, for example, Carolina's a good one, too. Like, it's close to the airport, and you're kind of downtown in the heart of the action. Like, the Washington football team, that's one I would consider going to just because it's close to where I live. That's transit-wise, that and Charlotte are kind of the closest to me. But, like, you got to go to Landover, Maryland. It's nowhere near D.C. There's nothing around there. Like, it's in the middle of nowhere. So, like, going to those games is kind of lame. You know, I prefer the stadiums like New Orleans, where you're kind of in the heart of the action. And after the game's over, you can actually go do stuff and, you know, be in a good part of town and get a nice hotel and go out to eat somewhere, get a drink. So, like, Washington is kind of terrible for that.
Seattle.
You said it, though. No, I mean, Tennessee's the one. That's your
Seattle,
one.
Seattle, to me, is they're down there. It's the stadium's not necessarily downtown, but it is. They do have a great public transportation system, so you can catch it and it's easy. It's right by the baseball stadium, and it's set up well. The thing about the Seattle game, though, is late October in Seattle, the weather could be dicey, and that is – that's a concern.
Mm.
And Seattle fans, from what I hear, are just not very pleasant. Although you can mitigate crappy fans – just if you're going to go on a Saints road trip, my number one advice to you is spend as much money as possible on your tickets and cut corners at your hotel and other things. Because if you can get a really good ticket when you're in the really nice seats, you don't have to deal with the shitty upper deck people. Like, that's my number one advice. Whenever I go on a Saints road trip, when I've gone to San Francisco, when I've gone to Miami, when I've gone to Atlanta, like, get the best seat you can get. That sort of makes your experience better, at least during the game. Going in and out of the stadium, you got to deal with the riffraff, whatever. But that's my advice for road games. Dave, is there any other road game you might be looking at?
No, not really. I mean, I guess for me personally, I'm from New York, so, like, you know, I would maybe potentially go to the Jets game and make a trip home out of it and get to see my family and friends.
But that's a nightmare. That's a nightmare going to that stadium, right?
It's obnoxious. Well, but it's like, because I'm from New York, and, like, I'm going to be staying, you know, on Long Island or in Queens or Brooklyn or something like that, and it's just like, you know, you got to go all the way out to Jersey.
No, speaking of Long Island, are you going to give us an Islander update today?
Yes. We are up 1-0 so far on the Pens.
Oh, thank God for that. Huge relief.
We won in overtime. Thank you for reminding me, Ralph. And this is officially the start of your regular
Islander
New York
updates.
Islander playoff Stanley Cup updates.
Yeah, 30. You fit it to 30
thank,
seconds.
Thank
our
listening.
Listeners appreciate it. Here's something that I heard on Mike Lombardi's podcast, Andrew, and it was interesting, and it made me think. You know, he was talking about the 17-game schedule. All the fans, we think about it as, oh, my God, how do you play 17 games? But it's really the extra game doesn't matter. It's the amount of plays that the players play. So he was saying that he thinks, especially in September and early, the good teams, the deep teams, are going to try to limit the snaps of their important players to the same amount of snaps that they played in 16 games. So he's like, you know, it's only 5 to 7 snaps different a game, right? So I got to thinking, how would Sean Payton go about doing that? And what positions do you think the Saints would be deep enough to try to do that? Can they do it anywhere?
Depends on the expanded rosters, I guess. But yeah, I think theoretically I think a lot of times you get stuck playing guys you don't really want to play because of the numbers. Just you have 53 guys and you can only play 46 or whatever on game day. And so a lot of times, I mean, we've all had those, right? Where we're all screaming at the television, why is Drew still in the game? Or why is Kamara? Why are they still handing off to Kamara? And we go nuts and we scream at the TV. And I think a lot of times just, yeah, I've never understood that, why you wouldn't just hand the ball off to Dwayne Washington. But, you know, sometimes it's like a couple receivers go down and you're forced to play him. But I don't know. I'll be surprised. Like, I just think at the end of the day, it's so hard to win an NFL game. Mm-hmm. And I just think that sounds nice in practice, but when it comes down to it and the game's on the line and they've got a decision, like, I can roll out Peyton Turner for a couple more snaps, or I can play Cam Jordan and make sure I put this puppy to bed, and Cam Jordan's going to be in the game. So we'll see. Like, maybe some coaches will be better than others at executing it, but I just have a hard time believing that Sean Payton's not going to throw that shit right out the window the minute a game is on the line.
Kevin, I know me and you used to be on the same page as far as, like, preseason games. Tom has put up my tweet about, I'm still fucking incensed about the Halloween game. Like the Halloween Saints game at 3:30, it is an act of football terrorism.
I'm more pissed than you, I promise.
It's an act of football terrorism, and I'm not going to get horrible. Over it. But, Kevin,
I knew there was going to be some bullshit game they were going to stick us with this year.
It was that.
Always do. How are you feeling about Thanksgiving, Dave?
I'm really not happy about the Thanksgiving game either because, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to have to see if I can get, like, the whole family to go, I guess. See if I can get my in-laws and cousins and stuff to go, maybe.
You've always had rants on the show and have been very angry about Christmas Day games. So is that less offensive to you, Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I mean, the Saints have had... I love the Saints playing on Thanksgiving. I just like it when they're away, and yeah, I could just be at home and eat and hang out and just watch them and relax. I hate it when it's home and you got to deal with the whole game day experience and being away from your family and all that kind of stuff. So,
Kevin, is there anything in the schedule that got your ire up? I know you hate Goodell just as much as we do, so I was wondering if there's anything in the schedule that caught your eye.
Yeah, I'm looking through it even now, and it's like, you know, obviously I don't have kids, so the Halloween game doesn't bother me. But I guess I'm potentially more put off by
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman week one.
Yeah. although that'll be mitigated because the Packers will likely be a shit show at quarterback. So,
your lips to God's ear.
Like that'll just be my hope for that. I mean, they got three road games, right? Am I looking at this thing right? These fools can't even label this shit correctly.
Balky says if Roger Goodell was an ice cream flavor, he'd be pralines and dick.
No, hang on. Nah, that's not three road games. What am I looking at?
But one thing...
I don't know. This is like watching my grandfather try to operate Facebook.
Yeah.
Here's the question I wanted to ask you, Kevin. Because remember, back in the day, when it was me and you doing this podcast, and we had the Hakeem Drops the Ball blog, which was the number 87th best Saints blog in history. We used to constantly make fun of the preseason and how much we
You're
hated
too kind.
It. And how much
yeah,
you hated
no,
it.
Yeah, no, you are.
Yeah, how much we hated it. But now, Kevin, that they're only going to have three preseason games, do you feel like the teams are going to do anything different in the preseason and put the Saints quarterback battle aside, which kind of makes the Saints preseason more interesting than normal? Do you think the preseason is going to be different because it's only three games?
I hope so. I mean, it's wasted football anyway. Like you'll get everybody's going to do the same thing when there's like a month out, 3 weeks out, 2 weeks out, 1 week out. You're going to see it on Twitter and Facebook and everything. Oh, we're 1 month away from football. We're 3 weeks away from football, 2 weeks away. And everybody's going to psych themselves up. And within 10 minutes.
It's not even 10 minutes. I'd say it's
football action. Everybody, the switch is going to be flipped on everybody. And suddenly it's going to be, oh yeah, this fucking sucks. When's the real game's going to happen?
How?
Yeah, but I feel like the first game we talked
fucking year, and it's stupid.
It's true. But we always suck ourselves into the first one.
Is stupid. We wind ourselves up and we hand these franchises over our ticket money, or your season ticket money or whatever. It's a fucking waste. This is me saying all this, but if you think I don't pay attention during the regular season, you're going to have to tell me that there's a preseason game happening. Why even pay attention? Did anybody get hurt? That's it. Did anybody get hurt? Did anybody look really good? Otherwise, I don't care.
You care about your UDFA son after you draft him.
Well, I'll wait until we make a draft on that.
That's not a – but here
– I don't know. Maybe it's not having preseason last year and also changing quarterbacks for the first time in 15 years. But I am a little intrigued. Like, I want to see Ian Book. I want to see Taysom Hill. I want to see Jameis. So, like, even Simeon, I'm a little just interested. So
I can't wait, Dave, for the
I'm more excited. And I'm glad – look, it's only three instead of four, so that's a good thing. We've reduced it by one. Because it's really – it's the fourth that kills me.
Yeah.
Every year, it's the fourth one where I just have total mental fatigue, and I'm like, I'd rather us just not have football.
Well, I feel like
– so, I mean, the way – the way I feel like they're going to do it is the first game is going to be your normal, typical, sloppy first game. Your second game is going to be – now is going to become like your third preseason game, where the second game is like the dress rehearsal where maybe your starters play a whole half or something. And then the third game is going to be all starters resting, all, you know, second, third, fourth stringers battling it out for a roster spot. If I had to guess, I feel like that's going to be the flow of those of the three preseason
games. Does that change, though, with the Saints because they have a quarterback battle? Maybe Sean Payton needs that third week to figure it out if Taysom is rocking it? I mean, I'm just saying. The one thing with the three preseason games, to me, Dave, is the Saints have so much uncertainty. Like, they have the quarterback uncertainty. They have middle of the roster uncertainty. You really think the third preseason game is going to be like the fourth preseason game where it's going to be total rest that they're just
– yeah.
It's going to be the same.
See, I think it could be a little bit of a hybrid. Yeah. I think Dave's mostly right, but I just think there'll be questions that they have with the third preseason games that they normally – that they wouldn't have if there was a fourth.
I don't know. I think your Cam Jordans.
Your
definite guy starter guys. They are not playing in that third preseason game. They are getting rest before they are about to start their new 17 game long.
Well, I will say this, Roger Goodell. I hate you for putting a Saints game on Halloween at 3:30. But you did do me a solid and put the Saints' first preseason game on a Saturday and the day before on Friday. My wife really likes Matchbox 20.
My wife.
She likes Matchbox 20. I like the Wallflowers, so we can go to the Woodlands and catch them in concert. So that's exciting.
Why would you say that? Why would you admit that on this podcast?
Dude.
Matchbox 20?
No, I don't care about Matchbox 20. I like the Wallflowers because Jacob Dylan is the best Dylan. That is a fact.
I'm thinking that is not a fact. But first of all, there would be no Jacob Dylan without Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan sings like I pronounce names. I said it.
Ralph, you know what? I'm personally rethinking this whole Halloween 3:30 game now. I think it's still going to suck for you, but I don't think it's going to suck for me now, because now I'm thinking, like, we're just going to make a huge, like, somebody I know or multiple people I know are going to be having, like, big Halloween Saints party.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's going to be tons of, like, you know, and, like, whatever.
I could see that.
Yeah, cool. I mean, it's going to wind up actually probably being awesome.
Somebody in the locker room chat Wednesday told me that I need to start now laying the groundwork for trick-or-treating on Saturday.
Nah, well, yeah, maybe you, think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you could just take your kids around on Saturday.
All right,
come to think of it, I wonder if there's a way to fool my daughter. It's going to be her birthday, which makes it so much worse for me. But I'm wondering if there's a way to fool her into thinking that October 31st is on Saturday.
Yeah.
You have to wait.
She'll be turning 8. I don't know how dialed in she is to, you know,
the calendar.
Yeah.
She'll just be wondering where everybody else is.
I think you could pull it off. You just gotta plan it out. You gotta start like a couple days ahead of time and be like, oh, it's like on Wednesday, be like, man, that's awesome. Your birthday is Saturday, man. I cannot wait. Like, you just gotta, I think you could pull it off.
Well, you could luck out. Like if the forecast for Sunday night, like the weather for Sunday, is like really terrible. Like,
yeah,
you know, they might locally in your area say, "Oh, we're gonna, you know what? We're gonna do it on Saturday."
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, they've done that before. Weather has definitely changed.
There's also just like, you know, doing it on a school night and like just the advantage of Saturday night. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Saturday night. Fingers.
It might be okay.
While we're totally off the rails here, do we have an update from Kevin? Like a love update? Like a doctor?
Oh yeah,
Doctor Love update.
Yeah. So real quick on that. I hadn't seen each other. We hadn't seen each other for like close to 3 weeks because she'd been on call.
Oh no.
A different type of shift.
Now, how recent was that after you told her about the podcast? So after you told her about the podcast, no. How long before this kind of 3 weeks?
Immediately.
No. It was a while. So finally got to see her again on Saturday. So spent Saturday morning and afternoon with her before coming into work. So
we're coming into work, huh?
Yeah. I like the love updates because it gives me a chance to play the ER theme. Thanks, Dave. Makes me happy.
I didn't
so,
mean that.
Kevin, things are fine. Look, going.
Yeah, no, things are fine.
A little shaky.
Things are fine.
Okay.
No.
That's what we want to hear.
No. Here's the thing. I have fear of abandonment issues and a lot of other problems from my dating life, childhood that have just continued to manifest themselves into my adulthood. You know, it's whatever. So I have to deal with that.
The title of this podcast says Tim Tebow wishes he was Taysom Hill, but it really should say psychoanalyzing Kevin Held.
That's right. I'm glad. See, you know, that's that is when you know we have turned the corner from regular Saints having news, actual football talk. There's a point in May where like the podcast just gets really weird until like the beginning of July. I don't know the official date that it happens every year, but we've definitely crossed it and we're into it now. Because we're talking.
Well, speaking of fear of abandonment, questioning your own self worth, just generally feeling old and kind of just depressed. The Saints just signed Lorenzo Neal.
Oh my god!
And when I saw that, I was like, "Oh, that's funny. There's a guy that has the same name as a fullback that used to be on our team." And nope. No, it's his son. It's Lorenzo Neal's kid is now
in
the Saints.
I didn't think there was something that could make me feel older than Joe Horn's son potentially being drafted by the Saints. But there is. It's the Saints signing Lorenzo Neal's kid.
You know, the one thing that's – Ralph, you've been talking for a long time about how the Saints don't have a Malcolm Brown replacement. They don't have a true nose. Looks like Lorenzo Neal is 325 pounds from what I read. So maybe he's the fat guy.
He's the fat guy. That would be amazing. Like if the fat –
He's also eligible for the UDFA draft.
Yeah. Ooh, man. If he would become the fat guy defensive tackle for the Saints and like have like a nice career, that'd be amazing. That because his dad for the Saints, people think of Lorenzo Neal as like this mauling fullback that just crushed people as Eddie George's blocker and that sort of thing, and from Damian Tomlinson. What? But when he was a rookie for the Saints, he was like 30 pounds lighter, and he was a really, really good, fun running back, and then broke his leg hideously and just decided to be a fullback and maul people. But yeah, I don't – Kevin, did you feel as old as me and Juge when you heard the news of Lorenzo Neal's son is now on the Saints?
No, I was just like – I thought that I had – I was just glad I hadn't Mandela affected myself. because I was like, oh, that name sounds familiar. And then I was like, oh, no, yeah, that really was a football player back in the day. So I was just glad that I wasn't, like, going insane having turned 40 or anything. I was just imagining a guy named Lorenzo Neal having played professional football. I'm glad that actually existed. Okay, he has a kid. He's playing football, too. Tremendous. To hell with – it's not about feeling old. I'm just glad this works up here.
Well, I have to I have to say, Dave, he wears number 9, even though he's 325 pounds. I feel like if you're a player and you're on defense and you wear like a single digit or you wear a number in the 20s and you play in the front 7, you always look tinier than you actually are.
He looks, I don't know, we're looking at this picture right here. He looks pretty big. That one single number digit makes... There's a lot of room on either side of that 9. I can see. I can see. There's a lot going on.
He's also around wearing that black. Nine. Let's just remember, black is very slimming.
Right. So that means he's even bigger than what we're looking at.
Yeah. Thomas, I just posted a picture of him wearing a white jersey.
Let's see.
In the chat. So if you wanna go ahead and post that, we can get a. It actually gives a tremendous shot of his gut, and you can see. Just how much he's every bit of 325.
Does he have Washington, Grady Jackson, Norman Hand potential, Andrew?
I mean, we'll see. I was reading about it. He tore his, so he was a good prospect and kind of had some NFL potential, and then he tore his ACL, and then he came back and didn't do much, I think, last year. So it's kind of a question mark on, like, did he just take it? So look at that beautiful
dude,
gut.
That's
Lorenzo on there. That's his dad, senior, on the right. Number
black is so slimming. Damn.
Black is slimming, right?
It is.
Yeah.
He looked big in that picture in the black.
Yeah. Not as big as he looks in the white, though. Woo!
And you look bigger when you're wearing a single number. Yeah.
Well, now
he can
number
wear 9.
Yeah, I mean, that 9,
now, now
that
he can
9
go
looks
number
like it's
9
sitting
at
on the gut.
Tackle, right?
Oh, man. I gotta say he's potentially a UDFA draft pick. I mean, Trill got cut. He was this guy. He might be in there.
What number did Drew wear when he was at Purdue? Was he 5? Did he bring? He wasn't 9, was he?
No, he was he was a double digit guy at Purdue. I think.
Was he 15?
He might have been 15.
Maybe.
Somebody in the chat will tell us, I'm sure.
He wasn't 9.
He was 15. I nailed it.
Because that would be wild if he wore number 9 at Purdue, and then now Lorenzo Neal wears number 9 at Purdue.
I got that Drew Brees trivia correct. Number 15.
So
I knew there was a 5 in there.
You work hard and play hard, so treat yourself and stock up for summer barbecues with Kansas City Steak Company. Visit KansasCitySteaks.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with code SD at checkout. For classic steak cuts to USDA Prime to American Style Kobe, hard to find specialty cuts and more, Kansas City Steaks has everything you need to fire up the grill. They make it so easy. Each order from Kansas City Steaks is flash frozen and delivered directly to your home. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Imagine relaxing in the backyard with your family while enjoying steakhouse quality meals from Kansas City Steaks. Try their butter tender filet mignon, Kansas City strips, juicy steak burgers, all beef jumbo hot dogs, and even complete meal combos. Bring the steakhouse to your house this summer with Kansas City Steaks. Go to KansasCitySteaks.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with the code SD at checkout. That's KansasCitySteaks.com, code SD. KansasCitySteaks.com, code SD. This week has tons of sports action as the MLB, NBA, and NHL are all in full swing. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sports news, sign up for bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Here's a question I have for you. You're our resident cap guy. You understand all the ins and outs and the contracts and stuff. And I see all these other teams signing their draft picks, first round picks, that sort of thing. And I know the Saints aren't doing it because they have like $8 of cap space. And I know they will eventually sign all their draft picks because you have to. And they're going to have to create about like $5 million of cap space. So who do you think will be the candidate that gets the restructure or the extension to create the five? Because they got to do it some kind of way. Like Loomis, he'll do the Loomis math, but he has to pull a lever to make it happen. What do you think they'll do to create the $5.5 million in cap space to sign the draft picks? And could it be an extension for one of the big potential guys that are left with one year left on their deal?
Yeah, I just think anytime you're a guy, like anytime you're a dude that's franchised, you just want a long-term deal. Like you don't want to play on a one-year deal where you're risking a ACL tear and you got to wonder about whether you're going to make it through the season on that franchise tag. So I still think Marcus Williams is the most likely of the three to get a long-term deal. I tend to think it's easier because you have a little leverage in the sense that like he's like kind of bummed, like, I don't want to play on this 1 year tag and I'd much rather have a long-term deal. See, while Ramczyk and Lattimore are both on 1 year deals technically as well, and it both pays them nicely, I think there's kind of a little bit less, like they were never under the illusion that they were going to get a taste of free agency this year. Whereas I think there's psychologically maybe a little bit of a difference for Marcus Williams, thinking he was going to get in free agency and entertain a bunch of offers, and then he gets tagged and boom, it's over. Like, I think he's not going to want to do that song and dance if he can get a long-term commitment from the Saints. Whereas Ramczyk and Lattimore are looking at each other and going, well, if free agency comes, they can't tag us both. So there's a chance I'll be on the free agent market and have a shot at, you know, a wide open market. So I think both of them would be happy to enter free agency next year if they don't get kind of sweetheart deal from the Saints.
So here's the thing. I got this idea because somebody, it's weird. You know, I tweeted, it was like 5 or 6 years ago where the Saints were losing to Seattle. And I was like, if the Saints come back and win this game, I will try to eat cat food. And I tweeted it out and they came back and won. So I had to do it. And I just, cat food repulses me in a way that I cannot describe to you. So I failed at it, but I attempted it. And it got me to thinking, wouldn't it be fun if we did like a way to get more patrons, to get you guys to support the show, the people that we love, the patrons, but the people, we have a lot more people that listen to the show that aren't patrons. So I was thinking of a fun idea. We were kicking ideas around. So I thought it would be hysterical if, because you guys hate so much the fact that we talk about Raz so much, wouldn't it be funny if we reached 350 patrons by the first week of the preseason, if we decided to do a fun sort of prank and had
my wife
hit me in the pie, hit me in the face with a raspberry pie. And Thomas, of course, makes this graphic where he's got my nerd crippled face right there for everyone to see.
Kiss my crippled ass.
With a pie ready to hit me in the face if we get to...
Is that a pie or is that a bucket of shit?
Either way, I'll do either one for 350 patrons. No, I won't do a bucket of shit, but I will do a raspberry pie.
Yeah, a raspberry pie.
R-A-S-berry pie.
Yeah. In the face, if we reach 350 patrons, and Thomas is nice enough to do the fabulous graphic, we'll add it up.
My face.
We'll tally it each week. So sign up, become a patron, and do your part so I can take a pie in the face.
You got to get that. You got to get that sound bite.
In the face.
I feel like there should also be a contest where we put different things on Ralph's wall, like different fat heads, mini fat heads.
Yeah,
different, you know, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like maybe.
There to be some contest where you get a different weird sticker to go on your wall.
Maybe fans
can just mail Ralph stuff that we can put up there.
Yeah.
If you mail me a Fathead, I'll put it up. We have all this space
a picture,
right here.
Like,
and
like
we can even reveal.
Roger
we could do
Goodell
a special
face.
Reveal every week behind the Florida
that's
line.
What I wanted to do.
A 28-3 scoreboard thingy. 28-3
right here. Forever 28-3.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Wearing the merch.
A picture of what's the right Les East? A picture of Les East's face?
Nah, go to hell. You go to hell, dude.
Eric Paulson.
Eric Paulson.
Paulson Adebo.
Yeah, get a photo of Eric Paulson and his
Just put a bullseye over their faces.
We should put Eric Paulson and Paulson Adebo's faces
I don't know.
Right next to each other.
I don't know how it's gonna happen, but Les East is gonna defeat us for podcast of the year.
Does he even have a podcast?
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
No, usually,
we have to get
usually,
nominated first for Les East to beat
we
us.
We typically lose to my cousin when it comes to podcasts.
Moscano,
so.
Yeah.
Looking
my cousin.
Looking forward to that happening again.
Before we get to questions, Kevin, I have a question for you. The Saints, for their schedule release, did a really great video with Cam Jordan. And it was fantastic. If you haven't seen it on social media, you should check it out. And the Falcons, and of course Cam Jordan was just clowning on the Falcons. And the Falcons tried to retaliate with this graphic that was like me Photoshop quality. Why do the Falcons suck at social media so badly, Kevin? That's an abomination.
What is that?
I don't even. If Thomas turned that in, I would say Thomas, do better.
Well, I listen to Kids Bop because my kids are infatuated with Kids Bop.
That sounds like a you problem, Dave.
And and even I think that this is this is an insult to Kids Bop.
But it's also like, well, you're gonna call the team that just swept you and won the division 4 years in a row Kids Bop. You know, like if you're gonna tool on us, at least like make a Katrina joke that's in poor taste, or like I don't know, make fun of Mardi Gras. I mean, you can't because it's
that is
awesome.
The worst idea I've ever heard in my lifetime.
I don't know, but like
I don't get
kids
it,
Bob, like they're basically saying that like the Saints play a children version of football, right? That's kind of what the joke is.
Is that it?
Yeah, I don't get it either. It's like, hang on a minute, man.
Maybe
Mike Thomas,
Cam,
like all of those players would take all of those players. If you told Falcons fans, hey, we can have Jameis Winston in training camp to compete with or push Matt Ryan, there's a sizable chunk of Falcons fans that would jump on that. And then almost every Falcon fan would gladly take Mike Thomas over Julio Jones. They would gladly take Kamara over whoever they got as their starter at running back. And they would sure as hell welcome Cam Jordan to their defensive squad. So I don't get it. Like,
I mean, there's just so much material. Brandon Browner, Spagnola, like make fun of us for our playoff exits the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you know what was funnier? Was it last year or the year before where they did that goofy Game of Thrones thing?
Yeah,
where
and they had the ram like knock the Saints off. That was good.
Fan or player, and there was a referee that ran up and didn't do anything. Like that was. This is just bad. Like this. There's no needling. It's not even insulting. It's just poorly. This is the equivalent of your goofball aunt on Facebook sharing one of those stupid fucking t-shirts that has like 9 different fonts on it. Like, I'm a Gemini and I do this and I have a daughter who does this and I care about this and we eat cupcakes on Sunday. It's like, it's all that bullshit you see and you get the same ads for it like 5 or 6 times. Like, this is terrible.
Speaking of that, I made a
and I'm sure this thing listening. I'm sure this thing was workshopped by people in the front office.
My God, they probably had 30 hours of meetings on that.
Like anybody on the Falcon social media team under the age of 30 probably thinks this thing is an abomination. and rightly so. Like, this is terrible.
It is.
This is terrible.
Is it as terrible as blowing a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl?
No, nothing is.
Maybe.
No.
Sick burn. No. Sick burn, Ralph.
Thomas, it's time to get to questions. Fire up the music.
Thomas was just playing the video, the schedule release video that Cam Jordan was in. Who was that other guy? Was that Ray Nagin? Did they let Ray Nagin out of jail?
Ray Nagin out of jail.
I was wondering the same thing. Who is that guy?
Yeah.
I think that was fucking Ray Nagin.
Get him out of
deal
prison.
On some countertops.
Yeah.
Thomas, right, fire up the music.
Take it to the top.
We got to get to questions. I don't even hear it. There we go.
Ralph hears it.
I hear it, but no one else
does. Are we sure Ralph hears it and this is just isn't voices in his head?
It could be. Could be. Crank that up.
Because none of us hear it.
I hear nothing.
I hear nothing.
Wait, you don't hear it, Ralph?
I don't hear it. I'm just dancing here. I'll just play it myself.
There it is.
What about now?
That's me.
Nope.
Well, my screen froze at a very hilarious time.
There it is.
There it is.
All right. Are you going to do the finger gun? There you go. Okay.
My screen froze for the rest of you.
Yeah.
Where it looks like I'm farting or something.
Only you are frozen, Kevin.
Okay.
Yeah, Kevin, that is quite a face.
You should save that screenshot, Tomas.
Okay, Tomas.
What next?
Tomas, check Tomas,
check the timestamp on this.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you. I put that up for you. Thanks.
What do you got, Thomas?
Okay, first question from our patron Discord from Preston. Warren Sharp says the Eagles have the second worst rest schedule and the Panthers have the easiest best. What is the Saints' rest schedule?
I don't know. That sounds
Is this like a Raz mixed with?
I don't know, Preston. Why don't you ask Warren Sharp?
Is that? Yeah.
What is a rest schedule?
Like
I don't even know. Is that like when you take schedule naps? Like my son, like we put him down at 3:30 every day.
No, I think it just means like it's the most friendly for, you know. You travel and getting the most rest and you know, most time between games and that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
I mean, the Saints schedule is pretty bad. I mean, like having to go Seattle and then home and then Tampa, that's pretty bad. And then, I mean, the Sunday Thanksgiving one is pretty bad too. So
hang on. I looked this up. So according to CBS Sports, the team with the highest strength of schedule.
No, this is not strength of schedule.
This is
not
rest
schedule. Strength of schedule. It's rest. Oh. I don't even know how you calculate that.
Yeah, man. What is Preston doing? What the hell is this? Come on, man.
What next?
Come on, man. Okay, next question from Badrich. Let's go. How soon could Loomis get on the phone if the Bears release Jimmy Graham?
Ooh.
I don't know. Do we really want him? Breeze is gone. You know, this isn't going to be like the Breeze to Graham connection anymore.
No, I mean,
Dave, don't do this to me, though.
We want nostalgia.
I mean, like
inject it into my veins.
Jimmy.
Yes.
I mean, like I would have let you have it. Like if Breeze was still on the team and they were thinking about bringing Jimmy Graham, I would have let you fantasize and have this time and have this moment. But like Breeze is gone now, so there's. And like, oh my God, how old is Jimmy Graham?
Did you see that one-handed touchdown catch at the end of that playoff
game?
That's
right.
I did.
My God.
And it's not like the Saints have options at the
end. All I want is that just one time, Dave.
I went and looked up the rest differential.
Yeah.
So, Preston, you can get off our asses now. Carolina is the worst, I guess. They're
explain
at 12
to me
and
what
a half.
The fuck rest differential
I don't,
is.
And look, I don't understand what it means, but Carolina seems to be the worst with 12 and a half. The Saints are in eighth with 7.5.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
So there you go. And then who has the best rest differential? The New England Patriots with -15.
Of course.
Followed by the Bears at -14 and Washington football team at -13.5.
Interesting.
What next?
Okay, so we switch to the Twitter questions now. This one is from Eric Brignac. If J.C. Horn hides a cell phone under the goalpost for every Saints Panthers game in case he gets an interception, will you be furious or will you respect it a bit?
Well, Michael Thomas already did it.
Yeah.
Right? So there's already been kind of an homage to Joe Horn. I would think it's lame. Like, yeah. Like it's already been recreated by Michael Thomas, and so...
Sequels
like
are bad. The third version of a movie is always usually terrible.
It would just start to feel, you know how like every team sprints to the end zone now when they get a turnover?
That's right.
Everyone does that. It's just like, it's just dumb now because everyone does it.
Well, he just, he just needs to up it. Like he needs to hide like a tablet or something. Like instead of
a gun.
Ooh, now that.
Oh, no.
Fired.
Let's go full crazy.
This shit just got really dark.
Hang on.
This just turned into unnecessary. What was that? What was that movie?
Wait a
The Last Boy
unnecessary
Scout.
Unnecessary Roughness?
No.
Yes,
no,
Boy
no,
Scout.
The Last Boy Scout.
Yeah, The Last Boy Scout. Yeah.
Hang on.
What,
so
what if he hides a gun and then shoots his dick off?
You're going to shoot your dick off.
I had the rest differential backwards.
We know.
So the Panthers have the best rest differential.
We're still on the first question?
Yeah. We're going.
Yes.
Yeah, we're back to the first
The Panthers
one.
Had the best rest differential. The Saints have the eighth best rest differential. And apparently rest differential has something
to do... the Patriots have the worst.
Yes.
Wow.
Apparently...
Take that,
Rest differential has something to do with how many teams you end up playing that are coming off of byes.
Oh. You think you know, but you don't know. And you never
All right, well done.
Will.
Well done, Ralph.
Look at Kevin educating us about football.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just as surprised as the rest of you.
When was the last time Kevin was on and he had stats? He had the Ian Book stats, and it like threw us all for a loop. We were like, what?
Kevin has like been on his game.
He always has stats.
Is
it possible that intelligence is sexually transmitted?
God, I hope so.
He is dating a doctor.
That's right.
God, I hope so.
How do we know it works that way? What if it works the other way and he's made her stupid?
That is stupid. That's definitely in play.
Tomas, you need to isolate a Simpsons soundbite. Me fail English? That's impossible. Go find that.
What next?
Ralph is
okay.
With the sound bites.
I know.
Next question from Bullsmith. Any returning practice squad members you feel might be able to make the roster and contribute?
Who's on the practice squad currently?
Well, Tony Jones. Kevin. Let's pump some Tony Jones here. This is your chance.
Is Lil Jordan a practice squad guy?
Yeah, he counts.
Oh, my UDFA
Keith
son,
Washington.
Throckmorton.
Keith Washington, Throckmorton.
Yeah.
Well, I would say Keith Washington, not only because he's my UDFA son, but more like... Cornerback two is still a gaping hole to me. Like, who's our second corner?
Gaping.
I mean, PJ Williams, Patrick Robinson, Keith Washington.
Keith
Adebo,
Washington had a minute in training camp.
Reach
in
that little bag
summer.
And see what name you pull out, because Keith corner two is a problem.
Keith Washington had like a week of hype where he was getting a lot of articles written about him. Yeah. Like a lot of tweets from the Underhills and the Larry Holders were like, the Saints really like him. He could be good. He's got all the physical skills you want in a corner. So,
and then you got Blake Gillikin.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. I forgot completely about him. But he's not a he was IR'd. He wasn't practice squad though.
True, true, true.
All right, Thomas.
Next question from Saints Rabbit. If Jameis ends up being successful next season and beyond with the Saints, what kind of crab legs do we need to start eating in his honor?
I prefer the big king crab.
Yeah, like, I was going to say the biggest king, possible.
Like the king, or the yeah, like the
what
Alaskan.
Do you eat? What kind of crab legs do you eat if he's a failure to get him out of town, like to celebrate that he's leaving? Do you eat like imitation
raw
crab meat?
Imitation crab, yeah. You get like California right. roll.
Chinese,
it's not even real crab.
Chinese crab.
Yeah.
China.
What next?
Okay, final question for this show comes from Christmas. We've seen multiple records of Jameis working out with Saints receivers, but there are no similar reports about Taysom. Are the rumors about his workouts that aren't going public? And if not, does this indicate something important?
I mean...
Well, yeah, I don't know much other than I can promise you Taysom Hill's working his ass off. That is...
Yeah,
I
mean, but
is
what does it
with
say?
Other receivers?
Yeah,
what does it say for the
I mean,
receivers for the
Taysom.
Saints?
I mean, they're all with Jameis, so no.
Yeah. Like that's like a vote of
it's
confidence.
It's a great question.
Like you
No, it's a great question. It's a great observation.
Yeah. Like Taysom can be working his butt off, but like the rest of the team and the receivers have decided Jason is
We're
going to
go hang out with Jameis.
Yeah, like Jason's the guy.
Jason. Nice.
Jason.
Ralph can't say anyone's name right.
Right on cue. Beautiful. Rad.
This has been a good sound.
We're hitting our stride. Those production meetings, Thomas, they're working out.
Well done.
Yeah.
Welcome to Uganda.
Well, and there it goes. And you ruined it.
As soon as we compliment
and we're off the rails.
That is the worst joke I've ever heard. It's the worst joke I've ever heard.
Are those two different ones?
Yeah.
No.
I don't take into account.
No, well, that was me doing it the first time.
Pretty good, Angela.
Yeah, I thought that was
you fooled Dave.
Soundbite. Awesome.
Huge is the impressionist.
It's so good. So that wraps it up, right? But the final thing, though, does the Saints wide receiver, does it tell us anything, Andrew? I think it does. Like that, they know it's Jameis.
Well, I've heard several teammates have interviews this offseason, and Kamara has probably been the most political, like kind of riding the fence, not really committing one way or another. And then you hear like Cam Jordan and Lattimore, who have kind of more clearly sided with Jameis. Like, yeah, I think he's the guy. Like, I think he's our quarterback. And yeah, I mean, this is another statement. Like, seeing all the receivers train with Jameis, I think if you were to ask the locker room, it seems like most of the locker room is all in on Jameis, not Taysom. That's the sense I get. That's the vibe for sure.
Yeah. So we got it. We didn't talk about it but it's coming. I promise. The Drew Brees bad decision bracket. We're working on it. Thomas is doing graphics that are amazing. We're seeding it. It's going to start in a couple weeks probably. But we got to save that because that's got to get us through the dark times of late May and June as we try to get ourselves to training camp in July. But the well, it's true. I mean, you know, worst decision bracket.
No,
I mean,
I'm just looking at this graphic, and the shirt, the hat, the diamond, the.
I mean,
it's a great graphic. It's funny.
And Thomas came up with a great way for, you know, we usually do the bracket where we vote, and that's the final decision. But this year, we have a way for people to be interactive, and you guys that listen to the show and can vote on some polls, and you guys can have a say in who wins and who moves on with some polls that we're going to do during the week leading up to these bracket shows. So stay tuned for that. So it should be amazing. We got it. We got the Saints. They'll do some moves. People will get arrested. They'll have some off season. You know, they'll have some off season. Some people will get drunk. Things will be bad.
Somebody's going to whip out their penis and start peeing in front of a woman.
It's
gotta happen.
There's always some knucklehead that does something dumb, and he's a Saint, and it happens in June. Every year, you can.
Somebody's gonna be found sleeping in their car on Earhart Expressway.
When have we had a quiet Saints off season where nothing bad happens in June? Even if it's like a minor thing, something'll happen. It'll happen.
Well, so, if no players go on Yahoo Finance, we should be ahead of last year. So that would be something.
That's right. So, Thomas, fire up the music so we can get out of here. Guys, thanks for joining us on the YouTube. You should subscribe if you're listening to this podcast in your RSS feed in your car or wherever, and you don't listen on the YouTube channel and you don't watch on the YouTube channel. You should join us every Sunday. It's amazing. Thomas has cool graphics, fun, cool stuff that he does. It's amazing. You should subscribe to the channel. You should become a patron to help us support the show. We got to pay Thomas meats, cheeses, and whatever currency they use in Poland. We got to pay him in that. So if you become a patron, you help us do that. So do it. Become a patron. Support the show.
Lots of crypto.
Crypto. Dogecoin.
We're not paying him in Taycoin?
Not yet. Taycoin.
Made the graphic and everything.
I know. If Taysom is the starting quarterback, that t-shirt will sell like hotcakes.
Take away.
So, for Andrew, for Dave, for Kevin with surprisingly good audio tonight, for Thomas running the show back in Poland in the middle of the night, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed.